case number 9SC1022, Wagner and Evans versus the City of Aspen. Are both parties ready? Argument is half hour. Please state your name before you start. And as I said earlier, Justice Rice is ill but will participate in these proceedings.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Edward Rainey. With me at council table is Gary Wright from Aspen, my co-counsel in the case representing the petitioners. The issue in this case is whether two alternative proposed initiatives are legislative or administrative. The petitioners are proposing initiatives for the purpose of authorizing, and I emphasize that word particularly because by their plain language, all these initiatives do is seek to authorize a new policy for the primary transportation corridor into the city of Aspen through a change in use of critically owned city property, which also incidentally has been accorded a particular interest by the city in their charter.
Does the city still get to make the legislative choice of whether or not to go with this?
Justice Hobbs, in this case, I think would be the people. A legislative act.
It is a mandate.
It is a mandate, and that actually has been raised in the brief. It's presented as authorization, and I guess I should take a moment from your question.
Sure.
It's presented as authorization. One can argue that the effect of this authorization and the rescission of prior authorizations, which have gone nowhere to date, would be essentially to mandate or require various administrative acts to take place. And I won't quibble with that. I think if we have a new authorization that becomes exclusive.
Do you think this is a legislative act because it's a policy direction, yes, that the city council could have made, but here it's the people, and that the administrative matters that follow it are implementing a legislative policy?
Yes, I would qualify, Justice Hobbs, what you said only in one small respect, which I don't think is critical to this case, and that is that the Aspen City Charter does require that change in use of was acquired as open space property be approved by the voters. I say that's incidental because I think this action is legislative irrespective of that. Were it not for that, council could perform this act. With that provision, the voters have to act irrespective.
But the voters are being presented that issue that was not allowed on the ballot.
Yes, that's right. We're seeking to present them that issue, to provide the authorization, which would, and I would not quibble with this for a moment, and this goes to the core, I think, of the Court of Appeals opinion, certainly some measure of administrative acts would follow from the passage of these initiatives and the change in authority. But the important point is that these measures do not perform those acts. They do not seek to. They do not grant easements or change memorandums of understanding or anything of that nature. Another important aspect of these particular initiatives is that by their terms, and this is something you just have to read the initiatives to understand, defer across the board to specialized expertise of the various governmental entities that would be involved in the implementation process under this new authority. In other words, there are general guidelines of providing deference to and consideration of environmental and historical considerations, but in terms of road design, intersection design, all this sort of thing, deference is made. We don't attempt to perform those acts in these initiatives or to lock them in. Deference is given to the various governmental authorities that would do that.
Mr. Ramey, if I might interrupt you, could you point us to the language in the petitions that expresses that deference?
Certainly. The deference is all the way through, actually.
So can you tell me what language specifically you rely on that, in your mind, expresses that deference?
Provides the deference. I can just start. In Section 1, you go down the various subparagraphs, Justice Marquez, in Section 1, if a reevaluation is necessary under the environmental impact statements, one will be conducted. Paragraph 3 defers to alternatives that exist under current environmental impact statements. But again, if there are any difficulties with those, If a reevaluation is required, that will be done. Intersection design in section four is deferred to the Department of Transportation. Lane management is per designs that the Department of Transportation has adopted already down Valley on Highway 82 as it comes into the city. Bridge design in paragraph six is simply stated as being sufficient to facilitate the addition of light rail. We don't attempt to specify how the bridge should be designed. It just has to be sufficient to accommodate light rail. Everything in paragraph seven is just speaking about alignment designed to be sensitive to the various factors noted there. Paragraph eight opens the door to an adjustment of boundaries of the property if necessary to accommodate the technical aspects of what would be implemented. And finally, paragraph nine is just requiring revegetation. So we're either speaking, there's detail here, and there certainly is detail here as in much legislation, but it's conceptual detail for when something that requires specialized engineering or other expertise is involved. The effort has been made to accord the deference to the implementers who will do this, and CDOT is the big one. The Federal Highway Administration would certainly be another. The city would have little to do with this because it would be a state highway, but even the city, to the extent that they would have involvement.
So, and yet at the same time, at the header in Section 1 talks about highway configuration, which must substantially conform to the design described herein, and also the preceding paragraph that talks about rescinding all enactments or authorizations that are inconsistent with the design requirements laid out elsewhere in the petition.
Right. What we're trying to say is what we're describing here, we're trying to authorize. I hope I'm answering your question and not missing the import of it. But what we're describing here is what we're authorizing. There is a prior measure, at least one. I guess if you go back at one point, this was open space property, which is kind of how it still exists today. Because nothing has moved under the 1996 authorization that was provided, which is different from this in philosophy and design. We are removing that authorization, or trying to, and providing a new authorization. And as you pointed out, what we're asking for is substantial conformance with these guidelines. But we're not trying to meddle in the technical design itself. Maybe this is your question.
You've answered the question, but you've raised a new one for me. The expression of this new philosophy, is that sort of what you hook into to say that this is a pronouncement of a new legislative policy?
That is part of it, Justice Mark. Is there really two pieces of the legislative policy? And frankly, I think there are equal importance. One is that the current authorized but not yet implemented policy for the entrance to Aspen is to have two lanes and light rail, which is basically a restriction of general traffic and a effort to, or I would describe it as an effort in effect of compelling people onto mass transit. Mass transit hasn't been built, hasn't been funded, as has been explained in the brief, so there's a difficulty with that. Our policy that we're trying to propose is to accommodate general traffic with four lanes, two general and two HOV, and yet provide the option for mass transit should that be funded and developed in the future. That's one level. The second level is the change in use of the property, which, like zoning, for example, in the Margolis opinion of this court, would be an example of that, is legislative in itself. We're requesting the voters to authorize a very material change in use of the property.
This is the open space property.
This is the open, well, it's presently open space.
Right.
But there's an authorization that it be used for this two-lane restrictive of general traffic.
Right, but it was limited to that. Do we have this prior Aspen ordinance that did this other policy so we can compare them?
Yes. The 1996 ordinance does authorize the restrictive approach to the...
Yeah, and that's in the record.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
It's in the record. I haven't looked at it, but it's possible to compare these two policies,
yes,
and see whether they're legislative in character.
Yes. Yes, I can give you the sites in the record if
I'll find it.
Okay. They're both of them, both the 1996 provision and our current proposals are in the record and ours are attached to our opening.
I'm sorry, is the 96 provision described as an ordinance or a resolution?
I think it was described, it was referred to the people, Justice Marquez, by resolution, if I recall, and the people passed it. It had to go to a vote because of the charter provision, section 13.4. When I first read it, quibbled a little bit myself as to whether it should be an ordinance or a resolution. But it was a resolution that sent it to the people, and the people passed it by initiative. So we're trying to go back to the people and say, please change your authorization that you gave before and provide this new one.
Now, Counsel, before you move on, can I get you to address the Blackwell case? I know you slipped Margolis in there, and that's your favorite case. But I'm wondering if you can address Blackwell.
Blackwell, in I think what Blackwell stands for, and I think what this court was trying to state there is, in Blackwell, there was a prior legislative policy that the proposed resolutions and initiatives in that case were seeking to limit the implementation options for. The policy had been made to build and fund a new city hall. There was nothing new in any of these resolutions changing that in any respect. All these resolutions did was attempt to restrict the implementation options by removing one piece of property, and not only one type of structure, but one particular structure from consideration. What this court held was, that's administrative. Once we make the decision, for example, to lease rather than operate the Royal Gorge Bridge, how we do it is administrative, executive, implementational. We're doing something very different here, and I do want to emphasize that. We're not just saying, fine with the 1996 policy, but don't connect it to Main Street, connect it to Cooper Street or something of that nature, or don't run it through this piece of property, run it over here. What we're trying to say is the entire philosophy of that transportation approach to the entrance to the city of Aspen, we disagree with, and we want to do something else. We want a four-lane highway where you want a two, and we want a four-lane highway because we want to accommodate general traffic until we can get mass transit. We don't want to force, constrict it, and force ridership into mass transit that doesn't exist. We are actually, the effect of our provision would be to rescind, not implement or restrict implementation options for, but to rescind the 1996.
To what extent is it rescinding in the sense that, and maybe this is more than the sense of rescinding, to what extent is it actually in disagreement with that provision as opposed to how it's being implemented?
Well, no, it's, Justice Martinez, we disagree with it. And we are, by the language of our initiative, rescinding all prior.
I understand that, but what specifically do you disagree with that is a part of it as opposed to a part of the implementation of
that,
it?
The entire overall philosophy of restricting general traffic to two lanes, forcing it into...
And that whole detail is in the ordinance.
There is detail in there, but you don't even have to go to the detail to get to that. It's a two-lane highway versus a four-lane general traffic accommodation approach. They are entirely different policy approaches.
The problem I'm having is you're answering sort of what's the difference between the plans, and I want to know what the difference between the enacting provisions are.
The enacting provisions?
Where's your disagreement with the original enacting provisions?
I may be missing your question, Justice Martinez, and I apologize, but the enacting provision in 1996 was an authorization, a legislative authorization by the people to accomplish this particular type of design, if you will. And it's more than a design. I don't want to get trapped into that word because that sounds narrow. But the approach to how traffic should be handled coming into the city through...
It's even broader than that, isn't it? It's whether to expand an entrance from, I guess, I get my west, east,
east.
West.
West, I think.
Highway 82. All right, we got it. But wasn't that the thrust of the 96?
No, Chief Justice, that's really, I think, the critical distinction. We're proposing an entirely different transportation philosophy. It's not just, as the Court of Appeals tried to describe it, as lane reconfiguration. We are trying to say, accommodate general traffic through general uses in HOV lanes, and if we get mass transit, great. We cannot do that under the current authorization because they have restricted general traffic to two lanes, which is an entire different approach to what the traffic movement into and out of the city should be. We are not implementing or changing the implementation options of 1996. We are changing that authorization of 1996. We cannot do what we would like to do in this measure under the 1996 authorization.
Maybe I think you'd...
I think it's...
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Lance Cote, registration number 18194. I'm with the Aspen firm Klein, Cote & Edwards, and we represent the protesters Les Holst, Clifford Weiss, and Terry Paulson. With me at the council table is John Wooster, the city attorney for Aspen, and I'll be sharing my time with him.
So why do you want to keep the people from putting us on the ballot?
I love that. Exactly. I think that John is going to be, Mr. Wooster, will be really appropriate on that issue directly, but I want to say that the policy on why this should be kept off the ballot is because of the impact it has on local government and how it operates its day-to-day operation. Right. In the record, you see pages and pages and pages about everything that has been done by all these administrative agencies to come to an administrative resolution of the actual policy, which has not been addressed yet. The actual policy here that is implicated is changing from the current S-curve configuration to a straight shot configuration. Okay, that is the policy change that's represented legislatively. Okay, the people decided we're going to change from S-curve with its massive congestion problems to a straight shot. Now, that is not addressed or changed in any way in this current proposal by the petitioners. And that's why we object to it as tampering impermissibly with the administrative process that has occurred. They are not saying, I want a new philosophy, I don't want to do S-curve, I don't want to do the straight shot, I want to go back to S-curve, or I want to have a different entrance. What they're saying is that this idea of painting more lines or making it a little wider is a policy difference. That is not a policy difference. And especially where the policy is, we want to change it from an S-curve to a straight shot. On the S-curve, you had massive congestion. On this one, the current city proposal, you have straight shot, which theoretically is going to reduce congestion. They have a mass transit component. Now, the policy that petitioners are attacking is one to use congestion in the new S-curve as an incentive for mass transit use. But I'm not even clear that that's an actual policy. There's a reference to it in a record of decision, which was really an administrative document as found in the trial court. Also, you've got, if this policy does exist of using congestion to encourage or incentivize mass transit use, then you would be leaving the S-curve configuration. You wouldn't be going to this other thing. So there has to be a different policy that is being served by the straight shot other than congestion control or congestion use to incentivize mass transit use. And so what I'm saying is that other policy is the policy that's been fought over in Aspen for years, is the policy of, do we keep the S-curves or do we go to straight shot?
Well, who ultimately has the decision over that choice?
That decision is a legislative decision.
Okay.
Do we change, just like in Blackwell, you have do we get a new city hall? That's clearly a legislative decision. But when we say this particular, I want this particular site, that becomes administrative. Right? Now, the petitioners here say, I want this particular lane configuration. What they're saying is, when you look at the petition, item one, under section one, is the highway shall be built. It's not a highway shall be built. They've got in mind exactly the highway they want to be built. So, and you have a list of letters that all the courts below have looked at these and analyzed these in their decisions and highlighted why these things are not just suggestions. These are directions. And it's not just an authorization, it's an approval. It's that you have to now give, you have, let's say it this way, is that we agree that the memorandum of understanding and the previous conveyance of a right-of-way, environmental impact statement, all these are administrative decisions that were made along the way. And what policy were they furthering? They were furthering the policy of a new entrance to Aspen, abandoning the S-curves, and going straight shot in. Now, that policy is not impacted by this right here, this document, this petition they got put. What they want to do is just change the administrative process that the city's administrators came to along with CDOT and the federal agencies. So I guess I have time for John too. So I just want to keep focused on that. Now, if the petitioners had wanted to really have a policy statement on this new philosophy that they're talking about, what would that look like? Would it be something like this one road has to be painted a different way or expanded a certain way over here? Or would it, a policy actually look like something it's the policy, the petition could say something like, it's the policy of Aspen to favor individual auto traffic over mass transit. Right. Boom. Now then, when administrative staff goes forward, so that applies to everything. You know, we have the bus lanes in Aspen on Main Street, right? But this supposed change in philosophy doesn't affect that. It's limited to one road. In fact, it's limited to, you know, a couple mile stretch of one road. Right? It's not. It doesn't change the rest of anything else in the city. It's not a citywide policy. It is a 2 mile stretch of road policy. Right. So here's another one. If we look at Witcher and Idaho Springs case, they both have situations where the court found you have now an administrative decision that you are trying to overturn. Right? Trying to just reverse that administrative decision, but not proposing an alternative. Now, in our case, they're proposing an alternative. They're actually proposing two alternatives, which should tell us something about whether or not this is a policy. If you're proposing two alternatives, it can't be a policy, right? It has to be these are two different implementation options, not policies, if there's two of them. Right? It's not like, let's have HOV or let's not have HOV. Those are policy choices. But let's have one that looks like this and have one that looks like that are strictly implementation choices. So I was going to say about the Witcher case and the Idaho Springs case, is that would those cases have been decided differently if those petitioners had included an option, right? Not only do we want to not have that city hall, but we want the new city hall to be over here. Well, we want it to be 5 stories instead of 4 stories. Do those cases get decided differently? I don't think so, because it wasn't about the failure to provide an option. Does this providing an option somehow hide what's really happening here? What's really happening here is that the petitioners are trying to trump the administrative decisions under the guise of a policy. Right, because the real policy, we have to stay focused. The real policy is the move from the S curves to the straight shot. And finally, the Bull case, I think, provides always, we can always go back to the Bull case and say, okay, well, is there something that's legislative in here that can be taken out? Now, the courts that have looked at this so far have said, no, they can't even find anything legislative in here. The petitioners themselves at the hearing in front of the hearing officer said that they didn't think they could do it. So it's not.
How about the change in the open space? The use of the open space.
The change in use of open space is a city charter requirement if there's something that's going to happen. And so when it's not a legislative requirement, it's a city charter requirement that a change in use of open space has to go to the vote. It's something that.
But this is going to the vote, and isn't this what that is?
No,
it's not.
This is no, because see that has gone to a vote previously,
right?
And a right of way has been conveyed to CDOT.
Okay.
Right? So what they're saying is that, and CDOT gave Aspen a bunch of acres somewhere else as offsetting open space. Now what they're saying here is we're going to get rid of that one without CDOT's permission, but we can't raise that yet. That's a post-election issue. But we're going to, make CDOT give it back, and then we're going to go and change, the lane alignment, right? So it's the fact that there is a change in the use as a component of the administrative changes that are being requested by the petitioners does not change the character to legislative. This is just a separate charter requirement that any change in use of open space has to be approved by the voters. Okay, so I would like to give the balance of my time to Mr. Wooster.
May it please the court, my name is John Wooster. I'm the city attorney for the city of Aspen. I represent the municipal appellees in this case. Justice Hobbs, your question leads right into the reason why I wanted to address the court today, and that's to answer the question, why is the city opposed to these proposed ordinances? There are a number of reasons. The first reason is that the ordinances, if either one of them passed, would mandate that the city do certain things. It mandates that City Council conveyed city-owned open space to CDOT. CDOT would then have all the legal authority it needed to build, construct, maintain a four-lane highway over city-owned property. The second reason is that if the proposed ordinances, that if either one of them passed, it would rescind hundreds of hours of work and literally millions of dollars that the city spent on the 1996 proposals. The 1996 proposal, if you will, was a agreement that was reached between the City of Aspen, CDOT, the Federal Highway Administration, to build a two-lane parkway through city open space with a corridor for light rail. In 2007, that was slightly amended to allow for bus lanes on portions of that property. That arrangement between CDOT, the City of Aspen, and the Federal Highway Administration took years of work to do, spent millions of dollars, and now the petitioners want to change that. They claim that they are merely authorizing City Council to do certain things. That's not the case. If you look at the summary of their own petition, let me read. Shall the State of Colorado Department of Transportation be authorized to construct, operate, and maintain a four-lane highway configuration consisting of two lanes and two vehicles and or transit lanes? Those summaries do not describe a ballot question that merely authorizes City Council to convey city-owned property to CDOT, but specifically mandates such an action and authorizes CDOT, not City Council, to build this highway over.
But couldn't the city itself enact this ordinance?
It could, but it would then have to go to the voters to ask for their consent.
They're going to the voters for consent to do this.
Well, the City Council can consent administrative questions to the ballot. The people are only have a right to seek petition for legislative matters. So City Council in 1996 submitted this to the voters pursuant to their requirements under the city charter. That doesn't mean that that same authority is granted to the people. Notwithstanding petitioner's denials of passage of either ordinance would rescind millions of dollars and years of work, their own proposed ordinances clearly indicate such a result. The introduction to both ordinances state as follows. The City of Aspen hereby authorizes and approves the conveyance of real property or an interest in property to the state of Colorado, and hereby rescinds all enactments and authorizations inconsistent herewith. As part of the 1996 agreement with CDOT, the city exchanged property, real property, with CDOT. The city gave them an easement over the city-owned right-of-way, and CDOT gave the city a chunk of land, a couple acres along the river, along the Roaring Fork. Are we supposed to rescind those deals now? CDOT's not in this room today. They're not part of this agreement. Even if the voters pass this, how are we going to rescind those exchanges of land? Finally, the main reason why I personally think this should not be on the ballot is that I, as a voter in Aspen, don't want to be asked these kinds of questions. In order for me to fully understand their petition, I have to look at documents that are kept in Grand Junction, which are 100 miles away. I elect the City Council to make these kinds of decisions for me. I want to reserve the right to approve what they do, but I don't want to have to go through this three-page ballot question to figure out whether or not I should grant CDOT the authority to build a highway over my property. Thank you.
Thank you. This case, I thank both attorneys for your argument, and the case will stand submitted. I should have said earlier that the Sanchez-Martinez case also will be submitted on the briefs.